Purport, the real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies, but those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of the house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ichhadvesha samuttena dvandvamohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. Om Gyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manam Api Shachiputra Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagram Urupurim Matarim Goshtava Team Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavanscha shri rupam sagraja tam sahagana raghuna tanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishaka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're all very excited. Tomorrow is the most glorious, blissful celebration of the appearance in this world of Srimati Radharani. Radhashtami is to be celebrated tomorrow. Sri Radha, who Rupa Goswami glorifies in many ways, actually in with every breath, incoming, outgoing, and in between also. Rupa Goswami does nothing but glorify Sri Radha and serve her. But in the short form that we all know best, he glorifies her as Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate, the lover. She is the lover of Madhava. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. So there's Parakeya Bhav right there. As otherwise it would be like Bhavani Bharata, Bhavani Bharata. Yeah. Well, how does that work anyway? There's something wrong there. Then Gokula Taroni Mandala Mahite. She is offering obeisance to she who is the greatest, the superior among the whole clan of young girls of Gokul. Damodara Rati Bardhana Beshe. By her dress, by her clothing, she increases the attachment to her of Damodar, Krishna. Hari Nishkuta Brinda Bipina Bibeshe, and she dwells in the forest of Vrindavan, and the rest, I don't know what it means, must be honest. Vrishabhanu Dadi Navashashi Leke, in the ocean, she's like the moon which has arisen from the milk ocean of Vrishabhanu. Poetic language. Lalita Shaki Guna Ramita Vishaka. So all the gopis headed by Lalita and Vishaka take pleasure in her transcendental qualities. Karunam Kuru Mai Karuna Bharite. He's praying for mercy. You are full of mercy. And Shanaka Shanatana Bornita Charite. Shanaka and Shanatan, they also glorify the character of Sri Radha. Shanaka and Sanatan, who are famous as being great gyanis. At one point, Nanda Nandana Griho. Hari Nishkuta Brinda Bipina Bineshi. Nanda Nandana Griharam Sharup Brindavan. She's the leader in Vrindavan. Shanakansha has later become the beginners of the what is now the Nimbarka Sampradaya, who worship Radha and Krishna. So I'm starting today speaking about Radha because there's much to say. It'll take a lot of time, and in the spirit of Adhivasa, the day before a festival, you have introductory ceremony, an introductory ceremony. So that helps to prepare the mind for the upcoming festival, get us in the mood, so to speak. Then why did I read to start off with Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarga Yanti Parantapa? All living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. I don't find any Radha there. You can look through the whole Bhagavad Gita. Mam Chayovya Bicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. You can enter into Brahman. But where's Radha? Well, let's be honest, we're a long way from Radha. Oh, there's a ceiling there, and it hurts my back to look up anyway. There's a ceiling there. It's a long way up to Radha Tattva, Radha Leela, Radha Katha. It's a long way to go, but we have to start somewhere. Where are we going to start? Well, we have to start where we are. Where are we? To quote the great unsaintly person, Oscar Wilde, I won't talk about his unsaintliness at this point. We are all in the gutter. Gutter is, in Indian English, is drain. In English English, drain means something else. But we are all in the gutter, but some are looking up at the stars. It's a good saying. We also, Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padang Sada Pashanti Suryo Deviva Chakshuratatam Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. The saintly persons, they look up to the supreme abode of Vishnu. That's from Rig Veda. So some people say there's no Vishnu in the Vedas, but there is in Rig Veda. This is a, so looking up means the suras, the saintly people in this world, they look up to the world of Vishnu. So this Bhagavad Gita is the beginning of looking up. Arjuna is looking out at the world and seeing so much problem is facing him. And Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna, just look up, look up, look up, then you'll see everything. Actually, for Arjuna, he didn't have to look up. He just looked straight in front of him and see Krishna. But he was looking out at all the soldiers and forgetting who Krishna is. Krishna's right with him. Everyone has to look up to Krishna, but Krishna comes down into this material world to tell us to go up to him. So we have to look up. What do we see when we look up? At night we can see all the stars and the constellations and thoughtful people since time immemorial have looked up and seen the stars and wondered, what's out there? What's all that about? What are we doing here? We seem to be very small. There's a whole big universe out there that we have no access to. So thoughtfulness of this kind, philosophical thoughtfulness, can come with looking up at the stars. And those who are students of Vedic astronomy, they can also see the stars and remember Krishna's pastimes, because some of the constellations have names that remind us of personalities in Krishna's pastimes. Revati, Rohini, Chitra, Vishakha, and of course, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi, the moon. Krishna is the moon among the stars. But we have to look further. How are we going to look further? We have to look beyond this universe. Beyond this universe, go through the universe. There are different coverings of the universe, which are you will know very well, Gokulchanda. They're described differently in different shastras. And there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mahat, pradhan, like that. There's different coverings, different shastras describe different coverings. Ego is there also. I have to go through the covering of ego. That's really tough. That's where you can drill your way through the earth and swim your way through the water and put on an asbestos covering and go through the fire. But getting through the ego, that's a really tough one. And even then you have to go beyond the mahat and the pradhan. But we have to keep on going further. Now the scientists, they're talking about going to Mars, right? We're much more ambitious than that. Forget Mars. What are you going to do there? More eating, sleeping, mating and defending. We have to go way, 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 way through all the... Once you get beyond the universe, you end up in the causal ocean, is it not? What do you end up in? And then you have to get through the Vaitarani, and then you go to the Jyoti. You could get stuck there too. You have to go beyond that to Vaikuntha. And if following in the footsteps of Gopakumar, you could go to Ayodhya. And there are a few stops on the way here and there. Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, and then you can find Radha and Krishna. You can find Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura, but to find Radha, we have to go all the way to way, way up. It's a long, long way to go, and we are in the gutter. We are in the Icha, Dvesha, Dvandva Moha. We are in this situation. So the first thing we have to do is get out. Look up and look down all around us and think, I don't want to be here. Okay. And all the prominent schools of what we can call Indian philosophy, they all agree on this. We got to get out of here. It's a mess. What's outside? What happens when you get outside this mess? That's debatable. But they all agree there's got to be something better than this. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Getting born again, dying again. Icha, dvesha, desiring. And desiring something and wanting to get something and wanting to get away from something else or avoid something else or destroy something else. All the prominent schools of Vedic philosophy agree on this. There's the Nyaya Vaisheshika, the Sankhya and Yoga school or schools. The schools of Vedanta, they all agree on this. And also the Buddhists and the Jains. And even tantrics, they all agree on this. They all seek mukti. The only ones that don't are the very important Vedic school of Purva Mimamsa. They don't want to get out of it. They want to get out of this planet, but not out of the whole material existence. And there are Charvakas and others, atheistic. They don't want to get out, but they don't think there's any way to go. That Bhasmi Bhutasya Dehasya King Puna Agamana Bhavet. Punarapi Jananam, Shankara says. Again and again there's birth. And Charvaka says, no. Die, body is burned, you're not gonna come back. It's all over, finished. So all of these schools, they understand that incarceration in this material world, the root of it all is suffering. This Buddha discovered that suffering, he didn't discover it, but his followers think he discovered it, that the root of all tribulation, all suffering, is desire. Because we desire, we come again and again to try and fulfill our desires. So stop desire and the problem is solved. See, I'm talking now, Icha, right? Icha dvesha samuttena. Stop the desire and all problems are solved. So all of the major schools of Indian thought, they all agree on this. They may have different angles on it, but broadly they all agree that we are suffering in this world, and that's just a matter of pratyaksha, actually, just seeing, with a little intelligence. The problem is dvandva moha. Mostly people don't have the intelligence to see that. Or even if they see it, they think that, well, we'll just solve this problem and that problem and that problem and then we'll be happy. Or, well, there is some suffering, but it's not so bad. We can also enjoy. And someone who's got a little intelligence, for which all these schools that we've discussed, they all in various ways describe the necessity of following some basic principles of moral life for purification of character, because, well, with the exception of the tantric school, but they just go to the extreme opposite. But most, they all accept, we have to have some purification, then we can begin to, we can have more insight into how we are suffering. We can see it. Buddha saw it according to the legend, Buddha, he worked it out by himself. This world is simply full of suffering, and suffering is caused by desire. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches about the nature of knowledge. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. Yeah, you can see all around you birth, death, old age, and disease, which Buddha, that was also his realization, came upon finding out that there are such things as birth, death, old age, and disease, and it's full of suffering. But Lord Krishna advises us to understand this through hearing from authorities, that this is miserable. You understand this from authorities, so we can get a proper understanding of this. So this is the beginning of Sambandha Jnana. And we're talking about Radha. Radha is Prayojana Tattva, the ultimate necessity of life. Prema Prayojana, our ultimate need, is Prema, pure love of Krishna. And Srimati Radharani is the very she is the source of all prema. She is the ashraya of prema. Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavaha. He's the root of everything, the cause of everything. He's not the cause of prema. The prema is in him is caused by Radha. But then Radha and Krishna. Now we're talking prayojana tattva. Radha Krishna ek bostu nahi kichu bhed. They are one. Radha and Krishna are one entity, and there's not even a little difference, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we accept as being true in all respects. So that's to be aimed at, but first, why should we even think of that? When we understand that our present sambandha here in this material world, all the relationships we have based on considering that I am this body, they simply cause suffering. Then what is our actual relationship? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we doing wrong? Well, to understand that properly, fully, we have to come to Prayojana Tattva. In a very general way, and all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, they agree, that Narayan is supreme, and our eternal relationship is with him. That's general understanding. But particularly us who are in Gaurīya Sampradaya, or only in the Gaurīya Sampradaya, we know that our ultimate need is to be gopi, revive our position of gopi bhartur, padakamalaya dasu dasa anudasa, to become a servant of a servant of a servant of Krishna, who is here described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the husband, the maintainer of the gopis. So that's our particular need. And how we understand sambandha and abhideya is dictated by prayojana. What is our why are we different from other sampradayas? Because we're aiming to Vrindavan. Well, Nimbaka Sampradaya, Vallabh Sampradaya, they also aim for Vrindavan. They also know about Radha, but we are aiming through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we have to discuss Prayojana, because our abhideya, our methodology of how we practice in this world to come out of this world, we're not practicing just to come out of this world, but where are we headed for? So actually, we generally say sambandha, abhideya, prayojan, but actually it should be initial sambandha, First of all, we understand we're not part of this world. We're part and parcel of Krishna and his servants. Then we should jump up to Prayojan. And then better fully understand our Sambandha, at least theoretically, and then go to Abhidha. And practically all the schools do that. I don't know exactly if how they teach, but they just like when talking all the schools, they speak of mukti. So in Shankara's teachings, we find that we're not anything to do with this material world. We are Atma. Atma and Brahman are the same, and you have to do a certain sadhana to realize that actually you are Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi. You have to do a certain sadhana. But before that, you have to do all your varnashram. Then you can be born in a Brahmin family. Then you can take sannyas. And then you can do it. So that's the system. But why would you do that unless you understand that this is the goal? The goal is to realize that I am Brahma. And therefore you follow a certain methodology. So we go Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. And we'll find this in the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. Actually, first should come epistemology. And then he goes through Sambandha. There's Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman, he describes, and then Bhagavan is Krishna, epistemology, Tattva Sandarbha, then Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, to explain who is the Supreme, who we have a relationship, then particularly that Supreme is Krishna, Krishna Sandarbha, then Bhakti Sandarbha, how we act in devotional service, and ultimately to Preeti Sandarbha, Prema Prayojana, Prema Preeti, the two words are synonymous. So one reason for that could be that shouldn't be speculating, but the topic of Prem Preeti of Radha is for us, it's very enigmatic. Even for Krishna, it's enigmatic. Enigmatic means it's hard to understand because the different qualities of that phenomenon or subject, they appear to be contradictory. On the one hand, she's so high above us, and yet we have to go there. She's the highest of all, far beyond our imagination. This applies to Krishna also. But at the same time, our ultimate aim is to become Gopi Bharatur, Pada Kamalaya Dasu Dasan, and to assist the assistance of the assistance of the assistance of those who are combing Radha's hair, for instance, or painting her feet with altar, red dye. So it's enigmatic. They're so high above us, even in the liberated state, so much above us, but at the same time, we are aiming at a very close relationship. And she's so high, but she, from our perspective, because we're not there, we're here, we're down here. From our perspective, she appears to be a loose woman. In every language there are bad words for loose women. I'm sure in every language there must be. In English there's one common word is slut, which means she doesn't behave in a way that a decent woman should. So it appears like that. And she's so ostentatious that she'll chastise the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you or I do that, then we go to hell. But she does regularly, and he likes it. So it's very, 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 very difficult to understand. One thing that I, in my contaminated consciousness, I find difficult to understand is that you say that the apsaras in heaven are thousands of times more beautiful than the women in this world, and then far more beautiful are the Lakshmis, and then far more beautiful are the queens of Dwarka, and far, far more beautiful. But if I think about it, the shape of the body, there's a certain shape and of a beautiful woman, and how is it any different? If you find a beautiful woman in this world, is the shape going to be different? It's inconceivable. There's something about it. Of course, one major difference is that the bodies in this world are made up of blood and pus and poop and all kinds of things like that. But in the spiritual world, it's simply all bliss. But then there are gradations there also. So it's a chinta. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes when he was asked about the spiritual world, he would say, if you go there, you'll find out, you'll see. And if you go there, then you'll see, and then you'll faint. But if we go there with even the slightest desire for enjoyment, we can't. We can't go anywhere near there. Therefore, we start here. Icchā, dvesha, samudaya. First, we have to overcome all this stuff. Get through all that junk. The poop and the blood and the pus, that's one kind of junk, but the real junk is right here, right? You have to get through all that nonsense. So there's different sambandha, abhideya and prayojan for the different schools. Icchā, they all understand. It's all based on desire, and icchā causes us to be born in this material world again and again. And the flip side of icchā is dvesha. We like something, we don't like something else. And this duality that arises, I like this, I don't like that. Or Srila Prabhupada writes here that he gives some examples. Dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain. Thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are examples that Srila Prabhupada gives of the dualities of delusion that delude us. And then we're completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the personality of Godhead. So we have to come to real knowledge, sambandha gyan. Srila Prabhupada writes at the beginning of this purport, the real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. All the Vaishnava schools accept this. They may word it somewhat differently, but they all accept this. The non-Vaishnava schools don't accept this. So we... In the basic understanding, we agree even with Buddhists, and even more so with followers of Shankara, Advaitavadis. Buddhas taught what we speak, desire leads to bondage. Especially the sexual desire is very strong. Therefore, we're very cautious to approach Radha. Because that's Krishna's. She is the object of Krishna's delight. And the sexual desire. Why is there such a strong sex desire? Why is it so strong? You may say biologically this, that. But because Krishna's sex desire is very strong. For Radha. But that, even to say it, we feel a little ashamed or embarrassed or uncomfortable even to say that. It's just like children, they don't talk about the sexual activities of their parents. When they're a little grown up, they know it's going on, But it's not something to talk about or think about. That's, we don't have jurisdiction there. But Krishna is inviting us to come to that world, and everyone's my child, but I need someone to help me in my leelas also, so you can forget you're a child of Krishna and become a girlfriend. Or a blade of grass in Vrindavan. But at the present stage, we have to be very, very careful. It's this sex desire that binds us. Sex desire and all kinds of desire, but especially Pungsa Sriya Mituni Bhavameta. Tayora ho Hridya Grantyam Ahuhu. Aho Griha Kshetra Sutata Vitaya Janasya Mohoyam Ahammameti. Is this Ahammameti, this duality of this illusion? It arises particularly from the sexual desire, the desire of a male for a female, a desire of a female for a male. This desire makes a very strong bondage, hridaya granthi, a knot on the heart, makes a very strong, tight knot on the heart. And in this way, one becomes attached to all the rest of the paraphernalia for enjoyment. Stri means who expands. So it's not just sex, the gross act of sex, but it's also she needs a house. From the house, then you have some land and you become attached to the place where we live, Griha Kshetra. Then there are children and relatives and the whole society, friendship and love, Sutamita Ramani Samaji. All of this, and then some wealth is required, and more wealth than is required to show that I'm better than you, which is all sex. To show I have more money than you, it's all for prestige, and to show if a man has more money, then Mi nun mi pu ying in Thai language. They worked it all out. If you have money, you have woman. That's all. If you don't, you don't. Woman for enjoyment, you need money. And that's true, either licit sex or illicit sex. Because, you see, when you go for marriage, arranged marriage, the boy may be looking at what is the color of the skin? Is it wheatish? It's all wheatish in the write-up. But then some of them are blackish. No one puts in the advertisement for girl, blackish, very black. No one puts. Wheatish. The boy's looking at that, but the girl's parents are looking, where's the money? They want to see. Money is required. And for a prestigious family, it has to be not just enough money to have a little house, but you have to have lots of money to maintain the proper prestige. So this is the whole civilization. It runs on this samsara vasana. Vasana means deep-rooted desire. Deep-rooted desire for enjoyment in this world. So Buddha, his teaching is very simple, that what goes on in the name, well, he just says desire, but we, from Gita and Bhagavatam and Vedanta, we understand this desire expands into love. Desire means love, especially this sexual love. And desire means suffering, desire means pain. Love means pain. This important principle to understand. So Buddha's teaching is simple. Desire causes pain. Desire equals love. So stop. Stop desire. Stop love. Problem solved. This Buddha's teaching is very simple. And then, how do we get in this mess in the first place? Don't even bother thinking about it, Buddha says. If you're shot with an arrow, you don't think where it came from. The first thing is you have to get it out. That's what Buddha says. We do in our Vaishnav school. We try to understand this in more detail, because we're not just getting shot with one arrows, we're getting shot with arrows life after life. So at some point, instead of just pulling them out, you might start to think, where are they all coming from? Is there any way to stop these getting hit by these arrows? Especially we're getting hit by Cupid's arrows. So Bhagavatam explains, Maya yatadapashrayam. Maya is the on the backside, is the of the Supreme Personality, of the Purusham Purnam. She is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Radha Krishna. Purusham Purnam. Purusha, Krishna is the Purusha, Supreme Enjoyer. So Purnam means to understand him with Radha, with his internal energy. And Maya is on the backside. And what is the function of Maya? How are we in this illusion? The illusion, this is an energy of the Supreme Lord, whereby, yaya, by which, samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute naratam yatkritam chabi padyate. By her energy, by her influence, by this influence of illusion, we who are by nature fully spiritual, we take that which is not in our real interest to be in our interest. Therefore we have samsara vasana, desire for that which is not in our self-interest. I was saying that Buddhists, his teaching was very simple, but gradually after Buddha left, the Buddhists, they erected a huge edifice of philosophy. Buddha just said, look, it's miserable, so just follow this path and nirvana. He doesn't speak about mukti. Buddha's idea is not to get free from anything, but just snuff out. Well, what exactly is nirvana? You can't say, because if you say it, you're not in nirvana. If it's not even to be experienced, because there's nothing there to experience. It's inconceivable, but you can't use that word because we use it. That's our word, not your word. So the Buddhists gradually, they had erected a huge edifice of philosophy, or philosophies. Buddha said, don't worry about all this. But then he also said to preach. And if you're going to preach, people say, what about this and what about that? And then you have to answer it. So they made so many different philosophies, actually. But they religiously avoid the question of why. Why is there desire? Why is this? No. Buddha said not to get into that. So they get very deeply into it. So desire, what is it? It's a psychological function. In modern language, say psychological. So they got very deeply in. All the Vedic schools get into psychology of our present circumstance, which is full of suffering. Here in Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samuttena Dvanva Mohena Bharata. So that's also the psychology of material bondage. But in Buddhism, they very, very deeply, they got into this, all these questions. What is desire? The different categories of desire. How they arise within the consciousness. What is consciousness? How to overcome them. All the schools that are looking for mukti get into this, just like we have in the Bhagavatam, Jarabharat, in describing in some detail about the mind and the activity. Definitely in the yoga philosophy, there's so much about this. In Gita also, Dhyato Vishayan Pungsa. Sangaste Shupajayate. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Kamat Krodho Vijayate. Krodho Bhavati Sammoha Sammohat Smriti Vibramaha. Sri Vibramaha, Then, Shriti Brangsad Buddhi Nasho Buddhi Nashat Pranashati. So it's a psychological analysis of various gradually degrading states of consciousness by which we become completely smashed in this material existence. The Buddhists, they got deeply into discussing all these things, vasana, sanskara, vasana, the deep-rooted desire, very deep within the heart, the underpinnings of our consciousness, and sanskaras, all these different things. How everything we see, do, everything we experience, even in dreams, even in our imagination, it all makes an impression within our consciousness, which may then enter the deep consciousness, and then that forms our personality at the very deepest level, our desires, and then sometimes these desires come out. We have in the Padma Purana also some description of this, how the desires manifest. We're suffering. What are we suffering? Prarabdha karma phal. We're presently suffering the results of previously committed activity, suffering or enjoying, if you want to call it that. We're presently suffering that. But there's a lot more in stock waiting up. Aprarabdha phalang papam. There's the aprarabdha, that which is not yet manifested, which is going to be manifested in due course of time. Maya dhakshena prakriti, under Krishna, ultimately under Krishna's direction, this material nature is working. It's not just the stars and the planets and the seasons. It's not just that. It's also the whole get up of the material world, how different living beings are put in different situations. Karmana daiva netrena, jantur deho papatya, how they're all placed in certain situations. So there's kutam bijam phalonlokam, there are desires at different levels. There are those desires very, very deeply in the heart. And there are those which are more ready to manifest, and those which are just ready to manifest. And kramenaiva praliyeta Vishnu bhakti ritatmana. And then by Vishnu bhakti, they can all be destroyed. So it's all this is discussed in detail. This verse I just quoted, that's quoted by Rupa Goswami, who came to teach us about Radha. But he also quotes this verse. So you may be thinking, well, where's Radha here? What's going on? It's supposed to be Radhashtami talk, right? So all this talk about sinful reactions and psychology and suffering. I'm suffering. I'm going to stop now. Suffering. Back pain. What do you do to get back pain? What do you have to do? I mean, apart from sitting in the wrong posture, what kind of karmic thing do you have to do? You can imagine if you get a pain in your hand, maybe you punch someone in the face, but what did you do with your back? Difficult. We have to find out. No, we don't have to find out. We just have to get out of this mess. So anyway, Radha Katha is coming. We're getting there gradually, but remember, it's a long way to go. It might take a long time. You might think, well, how long are we going to discuss this? Maybe a few hours? May extend over a few days? Well, what does Krishna say? Bahunam janmaramante jnanavam mamprabhajate vasudevas sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births of trying to understand all these things, some rare soul may understand Vasudeva Sarvam. Vasudeva is everything. And that's, even if you understand that, it's still a long way from Radha. Vasudeva Sarvam. You have a long way to go. Yeah, that didn't even get us out of the material world. Well, that'll help us to get out of the material world, but then we have to go through the Brahma Jyoti and Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, then Dwarka, Mathura, and then Vrindavan. There's a long way to go. I'll stop there for now. And then, Radha willing, usually I say Krishna willing, but I think today we can say Radha willing, then we can continue tomorrow. Are we supposed to say Jai Radhe? We can say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna means, oh Krishna, oh energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So that's what we're asking for. It's a very, very high prayer. Very high prayer. And we sing every morning to Tulsi Devi, E Nivedana Dharo Shakir Anugato Karo. This is my offer, my petition to you. Let me be one of the followers, servants of the Sakis, the associates, Gopi associates of Radha. Very high prayer. But we're always saying very high, Hare Krishna, very high prayer. May we engage in your service, Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Dante nidhaya churnakang padayoni patya. Kritva chakaku shatameta daham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya duvarat chaitanya chandra charne kuritan. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charki bhavas sindhu vyavacha patita anam pavane bhyo. Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.